Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mystery on the rocks, oh yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
Hi, welcome to Mystery on the Rocks, starring only two. Because we didn't want Masood on this recording. He's a bad guy with an ugly heart. So today is a little bit different. Basically, Masood had another baby, and it means that he couldn't come out today. Childcare, we're 3 days from Christmas recording this, so only the childless pair could come out and record today in person. And I said, I've had enough of Zoom. I've done so many Zoom podcasts, not just this one, over the last 2 weeks. I went, let's just us two in person, and then me and Chris can get pissed.
But also, it was meant to be gift exchange, so Masood's not getting any now.
I've got Chris a gift.
I've got Sue's a gift.
Have you?
Yeah,
should we do the gifts
now?
Yeah,
yeah, okay. Shall we?
If you go down there, there's a red foil, like bottle bag. It's really obvious what the gift is, but.
Oh.
If you go down there. Oh, no, it's here. Hang on.
So. Oh, I'm excited, but yeah. It means like I think Sousa's won again. Like
mine's not gonna be as good. Look, read out what it says on the card.
On the card, it says to Anna, Happy Christmas with love, Kirsty and Jane.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's. Is it Kirsty?
Lissy
and Jane.
I know who Lissy is.
But then also, it looks like it's Lissy and Jane multiplied by Dimmy, Bird, and Rio.
Yeah, they're horses.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's a bottle bag from last year's Christmas. Yeah.
It's the butterscotch liqueur.
Yeah, so you can have a filthy Werther's
I
for
am
Christmas.
So excited. But I saw it from the top, I thought, oh, is it like a vodka or something? But no.
It's butterscotch.
And the butterscotch on it is
Werther's.
They can't say Werther's original.
No.
It is.
But it's like. Obvious what they're doing.
Yeah, mine's not wrapped, so I'm going to put it in the bag.
Oh, yeah, put it in a bag, and I'll read
I'm
out the card.
I'm going to put it in a gift bag that I've just found.
Okay, that's cool. It's recycling.
There you go.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Wow, this is exciting.
Are you going to say how nice the bag is?
Oh, it's so nice. Look at that. Let's say, says Anna, Happy Christmas, with love from Lissy and Jane, times by Dimmy, Bird, and Rio. It's nice, isn't it?
Is it written by an elderly friend of your mum's?
No, she's not actually. Right. That's so good. This is so much better than a bottle of.
It's not.
Scotch snaps. Thank you.
That's because you've tried the button.
That's so good. Cinema Speculation. Is this his new book?
Yeah, and it's just him talking about movies that he likes. we're at the Phoenix Arts Club.
Yes, and they're literally doing a show. So if you hear any noise, we're backstage at a theatre. Above us has come from away. Yeah, they've been drilling. Above us has come from away, and to our left is a full panto happening in a couple of hours. So we thought we'd do a special Christmas episode so that you can go into the festive era knowing that Mystery in the Rocks is still here, baby. The last time I was here, I'd been out doing. Oh, I'd gone to a book launch. Mark Burrows was doing a book launch for his book about David Bowie and Mark Bolan. And I took my friend, and then we.
Is it official?
Yeah. Yeah, he asked if we could like, go out with each other.
Will you go out with me?
He said, can we be in an official couple?
He didn't say
couple?
It like that, though, because
he's Canadian. He went, do you want to go out with me, eh? Yeah, so going out with each other now.
How do you feel about that?
Yes, good.
Oh, good, I'm glad.
It's nice,
so
it's nice
about
when
normally.
Someone likes you despite everything. And we got hammered at the book launch. And what I mean by that is I got hammered at the book launch. And then we were walking, because I went, oh, there's somewhere we can get food at the fucking Hippodrome, because it's open all night. So we were walking, we walked past the Phoenix. I could hear music. I went, there'll be a show on. I'll show you the Phoenix. And they were doing karaoke. So rather than leave, I sang a song.
Yeah.
Right, and then we came out of the Phoenix, went to Hippodrome. But I wasn't sick.
So is he moving over?
No.
Are you moving over?
No way.
Oh, right.
Absolutely no way. But he... I've been like receiving Christmas presents one by one because they arrive at different times when he ordered them. So he's made sure they all arrive in time for Christmas. I sent his box of presents on Monday.
So they're not going to get there.
They will never get there. They'll know he'll get them at some point towards the end of January.
I like that. Because sort of like that bit between, he will get Christmas presents from someone and then there's something else to look forward
exactly.
to. You know what I hate is that bit between. There should be like a second Christmas on about the 29th or the 30th or something.
What, because there's nothing going on between? Yeah. Agree, alright. I'm going to get my drink.
Yeah, we have the same thing.
I ordered Negronis, Phoenix Arts Club Negronis, which they cheers, Chris. They very kindly made us. I always think a Negroni is quite a festive drink, and I'm sorry I didn't inform you that's what I was ordering, Chris. But I thought it was quite a simple
Negroni.
Cocktail.
We've...
And it's Masood's like...
It's the rule of Masood.
Yeah, you order a Negroni to make sure a bar knows what they're doing. Let's see. It's decent.
It's a
decent Negroni.
I've had way worse.
Should we do this episode?
Yeah, for our festive end of 2022, what have you got, Suze?
And we've done, you know, we did over 100 years of the geopolitics of the 20th into the 21st century. So I figured it would be cool to do the question. The question that I'm posing is, did Michael Jackson write the music for Sonic 3?
Now, I know very little about this, so I am under the impression that there's actually some evidence to suggest that he did.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to take you right back
to... I can't wait for this, actually.
Taking you back to 2006, it's the very early days of YouTube, okay? It's over 16 years ago.
Sonic 3 came out before that, though.
Yes, yeah. Someone on the internet 16 years ago called James Hansen, whose internet name was Q Jimbo, posted a video that hypothesised that Michael Jackson... our Prince of Hearts, had written the score for Sonic 3 on the Mega Drive, aka Sega Genesis if you are American, and he'd based this on some clues that can be found within the game's music. So this was in the early days of YouTube video essays, and there's been a fascination with the idea that an uncredited Michael Jackson wrote the music for Sonic the Hedgehog 3. So Michael Jackson is dead as hell. Multiply accused of very lots of paedophilia by people who have precisely nothing to gain from telling the world what this obviously very sexually normal man did to them when they were as young as 5 years old. It lines up for the worst hatred you've ever seen, what he did, and it was relentless. We'll have more on that later. Put it this way, I believe the victims, and if you say anything about Michael Jackson on the internet being a paedophile, be prepared to be attacked by the worst people on the internet.
It's funny though, isn't it? Because if you attack J.K. Rowling for being a TERF,
mm-hmm.
people are like, yeah, she is and we love her. But if you attack Michael Jackson for being a paedophile, no one actually goes, yeah, he is and we love him.
Let the man likes what he likes.
They have to, obviously they can't get behind that, can they?
Yeah, yeah.
So, they have to deny... sort of like what's in front of their faces.
They like the people who have accused Michael Jackson of paedophilia are attacked in. Well, like I'm honestly amazed there hasn't been like a murder attempt on one of them. The Michael Jackson truthism is insane, but we can get into that later. It'll be so fun. So we're gonna start in 1988. With the unbelievably fucking good music video for Smooth Criminal.
1988 is the year of my first vivid concrete memory.
Did you mean Michael Jackson?
No, it was a Dalek spaceship landing in on the TV.
It landed, in your garden.
It landed in the playground of a school.
Oh yeah.
In Shoreditch, and I was like 4 years old and not really sure how TV worked, and I thought it was a live stream from the primary school down the end of my road that I was due to start at after Christmas.
Wow.
And so I was
Were you excited?
No, I was terrified.
Really scared. Oh, that's sad. That's also weird that you said live stream.
Oh yeah, yeah, but it's like the four-year-old's idea of it, like it was live pictures.
I used to think that everything I watched was live, yeah. Even videos.
I remember realizing that how animation worked. I was a kid, and you know, we were talking about it in the WhatsApp group actually about the BFG. Mm-hmm. I was watching that, and my mum and dad said how much it sounded like Del Boy. Because mm-hmm. it's David Jason doing it.
Yeah.
But they were throwing shade on the performance as if like he hadn't really done much to not sound like Del Boy.
Right.
But I thought I was helping them out because in my head, I remember I was sitting in the car. They were driving us somewhere and I was sitting in the back of the car and I remember just going, they're pictures. Someone does the voice. And I went, I bet it was Del Boy that does the voice of the BFG. And of course they knew.
Yeah.
But I remember that.
Your parents were like, wow, that giant really sounds like...
And that
wouldn't
have been that long afterwards because that was 1989.
Yeah. All right. So we're in 1988, right? Smooth Criminal. I'm not a Michael Jackson fan. I never have been. But
you hide it well.
Yeah. I do think a lot of the songs are banging. I can take or leave his voice. And I want to say at this point, I think his dancing is fucking gross. I hate all the crotch grabbing and thrusting. I think it's weird and not enough people talk about it. But Smooth Criminal is such a good video. It's cool. It's coming up on 35 years old. It still looks phenomenal. Jackson's face hasn't gone berserk yet. And it's a great video and a great song. But it turns out...
Yeah, Jackson, at that point, Michael Jackson was pretty, but he wasn't beautiful.
Yeah, he was lightening his skin and he'd done some nose jobs and stuff. But he didn't look like insane. Nothing had collapsed, you know. It turns out that a version of Smooth Criminal had been written in 85. A demo called Chicago 1945 came out in 1986. And there's a song called
Al Capone. This is too many numbers. Hang on a minute. The demo was called Chicago 1945.
Yeah,
it came out in 1986.
There's a song called Al Capone, which eventually was heard on the Bad 25 album, which was released in 2012, which sounds just like
25
Smooth
years
Criminal.
Of Bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Get the hang
sounds
of this,
just
guys.
Like Smooth Criminal, which was 88. So Smooth Criminal forms a section of the 88 Barely a Movie Moonwalker. If you haven't seen Moonwalker, it's a series of vignettes which are just
vanity
projects.
Yeah, it's like 40
projects.
Minutes long, is it?
Or
is
no, it, like it is half a an hour it's feature
or?
Length.
Oh, is
no,
it?
It's feature length. It came out in the cinemas.
Because I remember my friend.
But there's a section that's 30 minutes long. That's the main bulk of the movie.
Because I remember Scott Mann had it.
Oh, yeah, Moonwalker.
On VHS. Right. Scott Mann was a Michael Jackson super fan, but he used to get hold of girls' exercise books. And, you know, used to graffiti the front of exercise books. They'd always put the take that symbol.
Yeah.
The upside down T and then the right
like
T in the circle.
Yeah.
He'd scribble it out and write MJ forever.
Okay.
I was like, okay, so he likes Michael Jackson, but that's excessive, Scott. You've let them like their take that.
Yeah. It's weird. I find it like, I mean, I suppose testament to Michael Jackson, how much he captured people's imaginations. He had the perfect opportunity because like little boys often loved Michael Jackson, and that's unusual for a pop star little kids. Anyway,
I remember being terrified of him as a kid.
I never liked him. My mum was just like, ugh, I don't like him. So
my dad's cousin was looking after me and my sister once, and I was very, very, very little. Mm. And he came on the TV, and I ran and hid in another room. and in my head, this is how I remember it, but it's obviously not the case because I was very, very little and didn't have the vocabulary that I'm about to say.
Right.
But in my head, when my dad's cousin Dave came to find me and asked me if I was all right, in my head I went, I've just got a feeling about him. Just got a vibe, don't like it.
Yeah, he just gives me the ick.
Yeah.
They say in Scotland, they go, gives me the boke. So Moonwalk is a series of vignettes. Michael Jackson, well, they're all vanity projects for Michael Jackson, who is, honestly don't think he is an engaging screen presence. If you've never seen Moonwalker, or if you haven't seen it since you were a kid, like, watch it. It's so weird and boring, and he's not good.
And there was a video game called it.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that.
Oh, we'll get to that, sorry. Yeah. Skipped ahead.
Yeah, Chris, this is about how Michael Jackson wrote the music for Sonic 3. I probably was going to get to Moonwalker.
Yeah.
In the Smooth Criminal section of the film, he's hanging around with three children, one of whom is played by John Lennon's son.
Oh.
Yeah.
Julian?
I don't know if it's Julian, but I think a younger one. Anyway, Michael Jackson, the main plot of that bit is Michael Jackson's trying to save the children from Joe Pesci's Mr. Big character.
I was about to say,
he's trying to get all the kids in the world addicted to drugs.
I was about to say, I was like, isn't De Niro or somebody in Moonwalker? It's Pesci.
Yeah, Joe Pesci is playing the villain.
Do you think that Macaulay Culkin introduced them?
No, because it's 2 years earlier.
That's true.
I like the idea that, yeah, because Michael Jackson probably only became friends with Macaulay Culkin after Home Alone. You know, Macaulay Culkin always says nothing happened. I believe it, because I think Michael Jackson would see someone like Macaulay Culkin as a colleague.
Maybe as a colleague, but also as somebody who is not anonymous.
Yeah, he has nothing to gain.
Which implies, I mean, we know this anyway, but if some people are under any debt, let's say somebody's out there listening or watching this and thinking, oh, Michael Jackson, I think he was guilty and I think he liked kids, but I also think he was ill. I think that he didn't do anything with Macaulay Culkin because he knew it was wrong.
Yeah. I tell you how we definitely know it was wrong. I do believe the victims, even if 1% of it is true, then like he did shit. And the victims all say, they all have the same thing where they say, he told me, don't tell anyone because I will go to jail and so will you. And it's such a, that's such a like, textbook Peter Bond.
Wasn't it Michael that said, why did he label his video that and not Barton Fink?
That was Michael.
And that's when she knew.
So I knew that he was perfect for me. Yeah, Michael Jackson, in the first investigation, when the FBI raided his home and they
mentioned this in a few episodes ago.
Did we?
I think so, yeah. Because then we were talking about, did he use one of the big stickers with Biro?
Did he wipe out? Basically Michael Jackson had a video in his house that he'd labelled himself. It was all video footage of kids playing in water in his garden. And it was called Michael Jackson's Neverland Favourites, an all-boy anthology. And an all-boy anthology. And my friend said, why didn't he just write Barton Fink? So anyway, like, Michael Jackson died of prescription painkillers.
Well, we've skipped ahead.
But but the main bit that people remember from Moonwalker is that, speaking of being on drugs, Moonwalker wasn't just a film, it was a video game. Released on home computer, Sega Master System, in arcades, and on the Sega Mega Drive /Genesis. Have you ever played Moonwalker?
Yes, Scott Mann had it.
Scott Mann had it! Oh my god. I mean,
when
it must
did it come
have been,
out?
It was 88. It was one of the very, very early titles for the Mega Drive.
So,
I think a launch title.
I would have played it in like 90 or 91, I think. And Scott Mann had it, and then he'd never played it properly. Because if I remember, you have to fight criminals.
Yeah.
Right?
You dance.
Yeah, but you fight criminals, and it's like a platformer, like most games were back then. So it was like up, down, down. But Scott wouldn't play the game. He just used to make him dance.
Well, you can do that. And there's a bit where you can make everyone on screen do the Thriller dance, and that kills everyone on screen. And there's a bit where you're fighting dogs, and you can make all the dogs dance.
Oh.
That's good.
I don't remember that.
This game is like being on drugs.
Did you have it? Oh,
no. No, I never did.
Oh, but you were a Sega kid as well.
Yeah, I played it, but I never had it. I knew someone who had it. So the Mega Drive game is the most popular of the ports that were released. And the music is 16-bit renderings of songs like Billie Jean and Smooth Criminal, Beat It. Michael Jackson was a video game guy. And that's enough about him for a brief while.
The Mega Drive
was one of the first consoles that was released that they were like, it's like having a arcade in your home. It's like the arcade games and the Mega Drive games are virtually the same, and it was the closest anyone had got to recreating what you could have in an arcade in your home.
It's funny actually, because like, yeah, as hyper real as video games are getting, which is cool and cinematic and everything, there is still something about like playing an arcade in your house.
So
we've got a Switch recently.
Ah.
And then you can get all of the old, like a blast from the past.
Yeah.
So they'll never age, guys.
They'll never age. And we'll never age. I'm Peter Pan.
I'm gonna get Moonwalker.
It's a weird game.
Was it a tie into the movie? Did it have the same sort of plot?
Yeah, Mr.
Was
there, Big, like, you defeat Mr. Big and but the film is the Moonwalker movie, that bit is only like a half hour section of the film. The Moonwalker movie
That's
is like
why I thought
it's
it
got
was
the
only
music
a half
video hour. For Leave Me Alone in it, is part of it. The there's like a bit where he is running away from fans on a movie lot, and it's rubbish. And there's all these women going, "We love Michael." Like, oh, don't hold your breath, ladies. And there's a bit where he dances with a claymation rabbit. It's just, it's not really a film. It's a series of little videos.
I think the reason I thought it was such a short film was because I think I only remember that Mr. Big section being
okay. So I'm gonna, now we're in 1991, okay? And Sega needs a mascot to compete with Nintendo's Mario. Mario burst onto the scene and he changed gaming in 1985, year I was born, right? No one had ever seen anything like Mario before. And Sega had Alex Kidd, which was basically a rip-off of Mario. And that was their unofficial mascot, but they needed something to compete with Mario and they didn't have anything yet. Enter Sonic the Hedgehog. So, right, the idea was...
Bay.
Sonic, what?
Bay.
Bay. Love Bay. Sonic's better than Mario. And the idea was to create a character to appeal to the Western market as well as the Japanese market. So the Japanese team created this character who had a few different designs. An early design was like of a rabbit, and they gave him all this sort of Disney look. You can see Sonic is kind of a Mickey Mouse style character. They've given him white gloves and these big eyes.
That tracks.
It fits, doesn't it? And his original working title, when they eventually settled on a hedgehog, because someone on the team said, "Oh, hedgehogs are really fast because they can run really fast on the ground."
Right. Which is funny actually, because whenever you see a hedgehog, they're always sort of like...
They're like ambling. So Sonic's original title when they eventually settled on a hedgehog was Mr. Needle Mouse.
That sounds like some kind of German focus group on holiday. trying. Mr. Needle Mouse.
They changed it to make it... And yeah, he used to play in a band.
Sonic did.
Yeah, his original character design was Mr. Needle Mouse, and he had like a band and stuff.
I like that. I know that. Do you? Because the reason I like that is because Mario was a plumber, he had an occupation, yeah. He had a thing, and I still don't really know Sonic's backstory. You've told me that he was genetically engineered.
Yeah, Dr. Ivo Kinterbor was a nice scientist who Sonic was friends with, and he was like, "Found a way to make you go really fast, Sonic," and he gives him this stuff.
So Sonic was already anthropomorphic?
Yeah, he was brown guy.
Sue said that, looked at me, and I could see in her eyes. She was like, "Oh, I wish Masood was here."
He'd have loved that.
Masood would have laughed at that, and we'd have been okay.
So he was a brown guy, and so he gets given the stuff that makes him supersonic fast, but he was already called Sonic, and it makes him blue, but it also makes Dr. Ivo Kinterbor go bad, and that's when he becomes Dr. Ivo Robotnik.
I genuinely didn't see that coming. Even yep. Just Sue's talking about that made me...
It just flips around as Dr. Ivo Robotnik. Sonic was changed to be like this kind of westernized cool guy, the hedgehog with attitude. His shoes are based on the shoes that Michael Jackson wears in the Bad video.
Oh.
Yeah. That's what Sonic's shoes are based on.
No. Let's go back to the year. You said 91.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Nothing's been discovered yet by the public.
Which means that, which I didn't know until today, Moonwalker... Mm. The video game predates Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yep. Yeah, it was a very, very early title for the Mega Drive / Genesis.
Wow.
The first game was released in 1991 on the Mega Drive. It was an instant hit. People loved the illusion of speed-based platforming. It was so much faster than Mario. The cool late 80s aesthetic of the game really captured people's imagination. If you've seen Sonic, it's not really a 90s looking game. It's the original game is a lot of neon signs and palm trees and that kind of thing. It's very 80s. And it felt a lot faster and cooler than Mario. And it had this very unusual, almost soft rock soundtrack. It sounds like soft rock Sonic stuff. It's again, very 80s.
Is it the one that's most widely played today, or do people return to like Sonic 2 or something else?
I don't know, actually.
I can't rely on my first-hand memories.
I think Green Hill Zone is iconic, and it's in so many Sonic games. They include Green Hill Zone. And the first level of the first Sonic game is Green Hill Zone. And the first level of Sonic 2 is Emerald Hill Zone. So there's always, and there's loads of different ones. There's Turquoise Hill Zone and Sonic Chaos. There's Green Hills Zone in Sonic 2 on the Master System.
And the difference is like Alien and Aliens.
Yeah. But yeah, Sonic Green Hills Zone is more of a war film, whereas Green Hill Zone is more of a science fiction horror.
Yeah. I obviously played Sonic at the time, but I like it was so long ago. I can't rely on my first time memories of it.
I've played
several Sonic games since, and watched other people return to other, like you when you do your speedrun.
My speedrun. I was so fast.
But like I can't rely on my own memories of what it was like.
I gotcha. Yeah, well I've played it so recently and only parts of the game are fast, but the thing that people really like was the loop-de-loops.
It's what I remember the most.
Yeah,
but you know what you said about how people really responded to how fast it was. It's like, of course they did.
Yeah,
because I guess like video games were always not so. Do you remember playing it was Mega Drive I think, but the Batman video game?
I know the Batman video game. The one
that, I think it tied in with the Tim Burton films.
Yeah.
But where you're driving the Batmobile on one of them, and then you can fire a thing to turn left really quickly.
Uh-huh.
But it's not really quickly. It's really sort of like.
And it's like block, 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 block.
Yeah. But Sonic wasn't like that because it was left to right and really smooth. Yeah.
It also, I think Sonic controls so beautifully. The physics really control well. And I don't know why platformers that followed it from the same sort of era have slippery controls. Just copy the Sonic controls. Anyway, the success of Sonic was huge, okay? It felt a lot faster and cooler than Mario, and Sega had its mascot, okay? He has endured, even though most of the games in the series have been quite pure shite.
You know when you said that that Sonic was the answer to Mario and they needed a mascot?
Yeah.
You like so they needed a mascot, they got Sonic, and there it was.
Yeah.
Were there any failed ones?
Failed mascots.
As in like did they try to
Alex Kidd, the first Alex Kidd came out in 86, that's Alex Kidd in Miracle World. And if you play that now you go like, oh I see, they were making their own Mario.
Right.
They kind of made, and there's a few Alex Kidd games. There's Alex Kidd in Shinobi World. There's a few. And they're all different, and they tried to make Alex Kidd the mascot, and it just didn't really work. Yeah.
Is Alex Kidd a kid?
Yeah, but it's K-I-D-D.
Yeah, of course.
And people go, Alex the Kid, and that is...
It's like when people say Mock of the Week.
Mock of the Week. Do they say that?
You never heard it?
No.
Suze, I can't believe it. Like, the amount of people that will say, you should go on Mock of the Week.
Mock of the Week?
And I was like, it's weird that people
That's
are saying
this.
That's
not even a saying. Like, Alex the Kid, yeah. AC,
I was like, it's weird that people are saying that. And then one time, me and Milton had just done a show in Birmingham, and we were walking from the car to the hotel, and then some people recognised him, and they went, oh, you're great on Mock of the Week.
Mock of the Week.
Yeah, and then like they took the pictures, and Milton was like very gracious and everything. Yeah. We went into the hotel, and then I said, Milton said, people always say Mock of the Week, and I went, yeah, they've always said it to me too.
How completely bizarre.
It doesn't even say it on the title of the thing when it pops up.
So the success of Sonic 1 spawned Sonic 2, which came out the year after. Both games had soundtracks written by Masato Nakamura, who was part of a band in Japan called Dreams Come True. And with the huge success of the Sonic franchise, Nakamura announced that if he was going to do the music for a third game, he wanted to be paid a lot more. So Yuji Naka, who...
So potentially Michael Jackson was the cheap option.
It is weird, isn't it? It's like they went, all right, well, if we're going to pay a lot more, we're going to get the biggest musician in the world.
So Sonic 2 was what year?
92.
And then Sonic 3 was...
94.
Right.
Yeah.
The year of history?
I think it's 96.
Oh.
I want to say, or maybe 95.
Yeah, it was the year that Earth Song came out, because Earth Song came off. Earth Song was the single from that.
Best of, wasn't it?
Yeah. It only works if he's also a Tory, because that's the only way that.
his Tory. So the creator of Sonic is a guy called Yuji Naka, and he was heading the huge project, which was Sonic 3. And Sonic 3 and Knuckles are two games. They were originally meant to be one game. But they released it in two parts, 6 months apart, on two different cartridges. And Sonic 3 plugs into Sonic and Knuckles, but that was the one that came out first. So he approached, Yuji Naka approached Michael Jackson to create the music for Sonic 3.
And why?
Because he was the biggest star in the world and kids loved him.
Oh, okay.
And he loved kids.
But what that strikes me as, like, was there a sort of like, were the... whisperings that Michael Jackson loved Sonic, or was it because there was a link because of Moonwalker?
He'd visited the Sega offices. There's like stories of like he came to the Sega offices in 92, but obviously he already had a game on Mega Drive, so he's kind of associated with it. And I think they thought he'd be like such a good get, which he would have been. So
only if they'd shouted about it.
So Jackson and his team got to work and created a soundtrack for the game, which was being released in 94. And then in 1993, something happened.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Well, care to elaborate?
Yeah, Jackson was accused of child molestation by the then 13-year-old Jordan Chandler. I believe Geordie Chandler. There are people out there, Jackson truthers, who will point out that Evan Chandler, the father of Geordie, was kind of a piece of shit, determined to get money. He was a wannabe screenwriter. He agreed to settle for, he asked for $20 million in settlement. And Jackson went, no, I'll give you $1 million. And Evan Chandler went no and asked for $15 million. So then Jackson offered $350,000.
Wow.
But he refused to. Jackson was like, I'm not going to court. And in the end, we don't know what the official settlement figure was, but it was definitely millions. But so all that's true. Evan Chandler did that. Evan Chandler also killed himself 5 months after Jackson's death in 2009. All of that is true. However,
so at the age of 29.
Well,
the father.
He'd been estranged from the family for a long time at that point. I can believe that Geordie Chandler told the truth and that his dad was kind of a piece of shit. Like, both things can be true. You can also kind of be a piece of shit opportunist and be furious that a man has been molesting your son, you know? Jackson is kind of a textbook groomer when you hear descriptions from his multiple accusers who are all now adult men. And I'm not going to go into details about what he's accused of, because this is a podcast about, did he do the music for Sonic 3? But he was a child abuser, and there's no such thing as a perfect victim. So if you want to say stuff about that, well, Wayne Robson's been caught lying about this. All right. So anyway, at this point, Sega were like, maybe we don't want this guy to be doing the music for our game.
Which I find interesting, because I don't find it wrong of Sega, but I find it interesting that, I guess, like, the whiff of that court case, or even just the idea of it, could put them off. But why? Because I don't remember at the time everybody going, I don't remember the prevailing public opinion being that he was guilty.
I remember it was a weird one, wasn't it? There were various things coming out. Like, there was, this is so gross, but there's Jordan Chandler, they strip searched Michael Jackson. They took photos of his body, and Geordie Chandler described his dick, and it was accurate.
But it turned out it was just an ingrowing hair.
This is because my boyfriend, so they pretty much unprompted decided to tell Chris a story about a medical thing he'd have with his penis.
It turned out
to just be an ingrowing hair. Why are you telling him this?
I just took it to mean that he was very comfortable in my presence.
I think he probably was.
That's all right.
He listens to the podcast.
Yeah. Hey, Michael.
Hi, Michael. From one Michael to another. we thought
they'd never... Did you hear Suze call you her boyfriend?
I was committed to the bit. So they cut ties with Michael Jackson at this point, and Jackson maintains that it's because he didn't like how the music sounded on the Mega Drive sound chip, but his music was already on Moonwalker.
Yeah, been bastardized.
3 years previously, so he knows what the stuff would sound like. Yeah. So he knew what it sounded like, so he knew, you know. Anyway, the question is, does any of Jackson's input remain on the absolute stone cold classic platformer Sonic 3?
Is it your favourite Sonic game?
No. My favourite is Sonic 2, but I do think Sonic 3 and Knuckles combined is the best game.
Okay.
It's just Sonic 2 is like my game from my childhood.
Fair enough, yeah.
So let's look at the evidence. Okay, I'm going to play you some clips, Chris. The closing credits of the game. So I'm going to show you the music from the closing credits of Sonic 3. Okay, I'll play this to you. Okay. So that's Sonic 3's closing credits. This is Michael Jackson's Stranger in Moscow from 1996, 3 years after he was working with Sega. It's basically the same song. So that's basically, it's basically exactly the same instrumentation, chords, everything. Okay, so that's evidence piece number one. Here
Exhibit
is
A.
Exhibit A. Here is the music from Carnival Night Zone. I don't know how far we're going to have to get before the bit that I want to show you, but... Yeah.
But I mean, that's just that circus.
It'll get to a bit. Wait for it. And there's a real compressed vocal sample there. We can't hear exactly what they're saying, but it's the guy from this song, Jam, saying the word jam, and this has a breakdown section in it, which sounds exactly like Carnival Night Zone. I really don't like Michael Jackson music. I like some of the songs of this. I hate all the stuff that sounds like this. And the guy who's very compressed, there's like a very compressed vocal sample in Carnival Night Zone that's like, ah, it's someone saying jam, and it's from the
saying jam.
Yeah, someone took it and refined it, so it's saying jam.
So this was 94?
94, yeah.
And when was Jam?
Jam, I believe, is an 80s.
So he's just reused his own stuff.
Yeah, he's plagiarized, self-plagiarism like Andrew Lloyd Webber does.
Yeah, everyone does that.
Yeah. Go for it. So this is Launch Base Zone. You hear the go. That's very Jackson. The drum beat's very Jackson.
Yeah.
This all sounds very Michael Jackson. There are other examples. There's like this drum loop, which I believe is the one I closed.
So I knew that there was this theory that he did the music for Sonic 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have seen sort of like maybe clickbaity things where it says sort of like proof that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh
yeah, no, he was definitely involved. It's just whether any of his stuff remains in the game. So that's right. Like bits of evidence. I've got more. Knuckles has a theme, which is just a repeated drum loop that sounds very Michael Jackson. The sub-boss theme for every level, because at the end of every act one of games of Sonic 3, there's a sub-boss, and that sounds just like Michael Jackson. It even starts with like, it goes, woo! It's got like a little compressed woo! So the evidence is compelling. There's more. Jackson's name does not feature in the game's credits, but there are a few names. He's just not credited, so maybe that's because his music isn't in there. But there are a few names that are credited as the game's music creators who aren't known in video game circles. There's Brad Buxer, Bobby Brooks, Daryl Ross, Jeff Grace, Doug Grigsby III, and Scirocco, who turns out to be C. Scirocco Jones. These are all Michael Jackson's writing team who've worked with him for years. So, yeah. On the level Ice Cap Zone, the track, which is my personal favourite in the game, it might be one of my favourite bits of Sonic music ever. It doesn't sound very Michael Jackson. I will play it to you. So this is Ice Cap Zone. All right, so Brad Buxer, who was one of Jackson's writing team, he worked with him for years, was with a band called the Jetsons, spelt with a Z, Jetsons, and he had this song called Hard Times. And it's the same, the track is exactly the same, and I think this song absolutely fucking bangs. It literally, the chorus goes, hard times, happiest days of my life, hard times gone by, and it's the same tune as Ice Cap Zone. So the game has been re-released a bunch of times, including for the Saturn as part of Sonic Jam in 97, the Sonic Mega Collection, and a few others for Wii, Xbox, etc. P.S. If you can hear Christmas music, it's because the Phoenix Arts Club have just opened and they're playing music for the patrons. Interesting, the PC version of this game has a different soundtrack, but that seems like an outlier, and it's not really known whether the music used on the PC version, which all the tracks are like earlier MIDI prototypes that were recorded, that were created for the game before it was ever going to be released. And they all just sound like lift music. It's not known whether that is because of legal issues with Jackson's music or if the PC wouldn't support Mega Drive music, different sound chips, but put it this way, at some point in the 2010s they stopped re-releasing Sonic 3. Okay,
who did?
Sega. So collections came out with other Sonic games on them, like 1, 2, Sonic CD, Sonic 3D Blast, but they stopped.
This is in the 90s?
Yeah, this is, no, in the 2010s, 2010s. They stopped re-releasing Sonic 3 and Sonic 3 and Knuckles, because I've said Sonic 3 and Sonic and Knuckles were basically two parts of the same game, even though they can be played separately. So why did the games with their OG soundtracks stop getting released? Well, in 2009, Michael Jackson was dead as hell.
He was dead as hell.
Could it be that Jackson was quietly waving through re-releases of games that featured his music without royalties or compensation, but when he died and his family took control of the estate, they began to demand money from Sega? Likewise, for his team of co-writers, the filming of Sonic 3 releases, the timing of Sonic 3 releases cutting off practically in line with his death, with only a couple of small exceptions, seems too heady a coincidence to ignore. That's what I feel.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So you think that while he was alive, he didn't care?
Yeah, he was just kind of like, whatever. Yeah, barely noticed.
Because he was also like quite hard up.
Yes,
in rich people's terms.
Yes,
because
he settled with so many families, lost a lot of money that way.
I mean, that's why.
And he had a shopping habit.
He announced this tour that he couldn't do.
Yes, the This Is It tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it turns out to be it.
Yeah, it was more than it. It was not happening.
Well, like, so if he then, when he died, and obviously it doesn't matter whether it's his family or somebody else, his estate is in the hands of people.
Yeah.
Then, they could have been more careful about it. But if he's not credited, is he still in control of that music, or is he still owed anything?
I have laid out all the evidence of the lead up to the game coming out, his ties being cut with Sega. He says because the sound chip mate didn't like how the music sounded, Sega say because he was fucking pedo. The question this episode posed was, did Michael Jackson write the music for Sonic 3? So, finally, June 2022. Okay.
That's this year.
That is this year. We're going back 6 months. Yuji Naka, in a rare interview, was asked directly, did Michael Jackson's music for Sonic 3 remain in the game? His answer. Yep. You just said yeah. Like, no one thought to, like, just go, mate, is it here? He was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So there you go. I've solved the mystery. But this endured for years. This was, like, a major
talking
point.
Yeah, I remember it being, like, a myth.
It was, like, this urban myth. And the more I looked into it, the more I was like, yes, I think it is his music. And then finally, Yuji Naka went, oh, yeah. Really casually?
No, it is him, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was him. So there you go.
Wow, I can't believe
it. Was it a roller coaster?
I can't believe that Yuji Naka got Columbo'd like that.
Yes. Oh.
Yes. Well, I...
Did you enjoy hearing about it, though?
I did, actually, yeah.
Is it alright?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was...
Was it boring?
No, it was not boring. It was... I didn't know the order with which Sega released its back catalogue.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I didn't know that Moonwalker predated Sonic by quite that much.
Mm-hmm. We are going to have to say goodbye because the Phoenix is much... a much lauded venue, and it has a show to do. So thank you everybody for listening to Mystery on the Rocks this year. Have a lovely Christmas. I'm Suze.
I'm not Suze.
This is Masood. Bye.
Bye.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.